we all have our favourite hymns, and one of my favourite hymns is "Crown Him with Many Crowns, the Lamb upon the Throne." And for some bizarre reason, we very often say of our favourite hymns, "That's the one I want sung at my funeral," as if we would be there to hear it sung. And then, to be honest, they could be singing Sinatra's "I Did It My Way," and we would be none the wiser. Singing and singing hymns has been an important part of Christianity, and it has brought strength, comfort, and delight to Christians of all ages and in all generations. And it's to a hymn I want to draw your attention this morning. It's to the hymn of Isaiah that was read to us by Nigel earlier on, Isaiah chapter 12. And it's the second verse of that particular passage that I want to lay as a basis for my message this morning. So my text would be Isaiah 12 and verse 2. And it reads, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." Chapter 12 seems to be a hymn of praise. It's a graphic prophecy of the people's joy when Christ comes to reign on earth in the messianic kingdom yet to come. However, it is also descriptive of the here and now concerning the child of God. Today, I would like to point out a few great truths that are found in this verse that is relevant to us this morning. And I pray that God will take these few thoughts, simple though they may be, and work them into our hearts and bless us with them in these difficult days that we find ourselves in. Can I suggest that, first of all, this verse speaks of a great truth. Listen, surely God is my salvation. Could there ever be a greater truth spoken? Is there any salvation? If there is any salvation to be found, then surely it must be found in God. Consider two facts about this great truth with me this morning. The first is this: He, that is God, is the originator of salvation. Listen to Isaiah, "Surely God is my salvation." You see, man could never design a plan of salvation that would be fitting for all eternity, for it's not in his nature. God is the great architect behind this plan of salvation, for it is he who designed it. He is the originator. And when it comes to salvation, we must put all the emphasis on God, for that is where it is due. Jonah 2:9 declares, "Salvation comes from the Lord." And before man fell in Eden, God had provided a plan of salvation, and Christ is spoken of as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. You see, our salvation this morning is not as a result of God having a panic attack when man fell, and therefore he had to find some quick solution. No, this plan of salvation originated in the loving heart of God before time began. You see, he had an unconditional love for mankind, and therefore was committed to him And although there was only one possible means of salvation for mankind, God himself planned it and its procurement in all its finest detail. It was the old hymn writer who said, "Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man, oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary." Yes, a great truth, and God is the originator of salvation. And secondly, it's a great truth not only because God is the originator of salvation, but also because he is the deliverer of salvation. See, having a plan is one thing, but finding someone who can deliver that plan is something else. As leaders of churches, we can go away for a leader's weekend or retreat and come up with a wonderful plan for the growth and expansion of our church, a plan that would be exciting, even mind-blowing, and one which would be guaranteed to succeed. However, finding the right person and finance to deliver such a plan and make it a reality would be another story. However, God designed a perfect plan and personally delivered the plan by presenting himself as the perfect sacrifice which provided for you and me this morning the perfect salvation. Surely God is my salvation. It was the Apostle John who wrote, "He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the world." Luther said of Jesus, the deliverer of such a wonderful salvation, he said, "The Lord Jesus is an infinite being of infinite worth. His sacrifice was of infinite value. He has therefore provided a salvation that is as infinite in value as he himself." And he goes on to say, "If all the inhabitants of the earth throughout the whole time had put their claim for forgiveness on the grounds of the sacrifice of Christ, they would not have exhausted its value." Yes, says Luther, if there had been 1,000 worlds of sinners, the sum of their populations would still not have exhausted or equated with the value of the infinite sacrifice offered by such a person of infinite value. Yes, a great truth. God is the originator of salvation, and he is the deliverer of the salvation. Truly, God is our salvation this morning. Without him, there would be no salvation. Peter makes it clear, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved. And Isaiah, in the second part of this verse, declares, "He has become my salvation." You see, not only has he planned our salvation, but he has become our salvation by his substitutionary death, by his victorious death and triumphant resurrection. And therefore, this morning, we can only say with the hymn writer, "Hallelujah, what a Savior." But not only do we find a great truth here, but also we find a great trust. Listen to the prophet, "I will trust and not be afraid." Yes, surely God is my salvation, but I will trust and not be afraid. So there is a great trust. And if ever there is a time that we as Christians need to learn to trust in God and his sovereign care for us, it's in these. Notice two things regarding the trust that Isaiah speaks of. First of all, the claim of his trust. He says, I will. In this statement, he is making an affirmation regarding his trust in the Lord. He doesn't say, I might. He says, I will. In other words, he's saying, no matter how dark the night, no matter how stormy the sea, or how terrible the enemy attacks are, or even how forsaken I may feel, I will trust. This is an affirmation that you and I in these days need to make every day. The encouragement of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, those well-known words of Solomon, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Notice how the will is exercised here. I will. And trusting God, you see, involves engaging with our wills. We may not always feel like trusting. Circumstances may be telling us that we may be foolish to trust at times. But often, to experience a triumphant Christian living, we must will ourselves to trust. Think of Moses in the Old Testament as he has the mourning Israelites all around him, the Red Sea in front of him, and Pharaoh's armies behind him. And yet Moses wills himself to trust his God. And so he stretches out his arm for the Red Sea to part. Think of the three Hebrew lads thrown into the fiery furnace. And yet their trust in God was unshaken. Think of Peter walking on the water. The other 11 disciples, it could be argued, their trust was a bit shaky. But Peter willed himself to trust in God, despite the circumstances. And so out of the boat he went. Think of George Muller on that morning when the matron came and told him that the pantry was empty. And yet he said, bring down the children to the dining room. And of course, he placed his faith and his trust. He willed himself to trust God, although all the circumstances were against him. Think of David Wilkinson, the founder of Teen Challenge, enjoying the comforts of a country pastorate. And yet he felt God challenging him to go to New York in order that he might minister to the worst kind of men and women. And yet he trusted God, and off he went. All these men sung with Isaiah, I will trust. And then the second thing we find about this great trust is this, not only the claim of his trust, but the consequences of his trust. And not be afraid. Here we have the confidence or the consequences of such a trust in the Lord. You see, fear is dispelled for the believer when he fully trusts in God. I read this not so long ago about trust. It says this, I am fully persuaded, said the individual, that the individual who is always afraid is an individual who trusts God very little. Wow. I am fully persuaded that the individual who is always afraid is an individual who trusts God very little. May God give us grace, like Isaiah, to exercise our will to trust so that we too will experience its consequence and not be afraid. You see, there is no greater person who could ever possibly be the object of our trust than the Lord. He is the God who cannot lie. He is the rock of all ages. He is committed to us. He has promised never to leave us or forsake us. He is omnipotent, as we sang in that opening song this morning, and he has never failed. And think of those men that I mentioned earlier and what happened to them. What are the consequences of their trust as fear dispelled? When Moses stretched forth his arms and the Red Sea parted, the three Hebrew lads went into the fiery furnace and came out unscathed. Peter did the impossible and walked on water. George Muller fed his orphans as the bakery van arrived right at the right, just at the right time. David Wilkinson started what is known today as Team Challenge International. The hymn says, I will trust and not be afraid. One of the great hymns that I remember learning as a young Christian in my late teens was a 480 in the Blessed Red Book. And it reads, simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Brightly doth his spirit shine into this poor heart of mine. While he leads, I cannot fall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Singing, if my way be clear. Praying, if the path be drear. If in danger on him call, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting him while life shall last. Trusting him till earth is past. Till within the jasper wall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly. Trusting as the days go by. Trusting him whate'er befall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. And I'm sure that many of you at Bethel have sung that hymn, probably not for many, many years, and maybe it needs to come back as maybe one of our great anthems at this time of pandemic. Yes, a great truth in this particular hymn, and a great trust. But finally, there is also a great triumph. The Lord is my strength and my song. Or as the old King James puts it, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. There is triumph for the believer in this life. It is found in the Lord and in him alone. And notice two simple facts that are stated by Isaiah concerning the believer's triumph. First, there is the strength of his triumph. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength. One of the songs that children are used to, not maybe these days, but when I was a child, one of the first songs that used to learn in Sunday school would have been, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And it goes on to say, little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. They are weak, but he is strong. No truer words have ever been spoken in one sense. Indeed, we are weak, but our Savior is strong. Triumph will never be out of our reach while the Lord Jehovah is our strength. The modern songwriter says, strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer, you are the everlasting God. You do not faint. You won't grow weary. You are the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. It was David who said of the Lord, who had delivered him from the hands of his enemies. He said, "For who is God beside the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect." It was the psalmist who said, "God is our refuge and our strength." Speak to God's people who have gone through difficult times, and they will tell you that God has been their strength. During this time of pandemic, probably in this past year, I've taken more funerals than I've ever done in previous years. And when it's been the death of a Christian, they all say the same thing. "I don't know how I would have gone through this without experiencing the strength of God." You see, in sickness and even facing death, the Christian can say, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." We have strength that comes from God. In our bereavements, we can cast our burdens on him, knowing that underneath are the everlasting arms. In family crisis, and when we have problems, maybe with our children, we know that God will never leave us or forsake us. Friends, have you ever felt like simply you can't take anymore, or you can't go on, or you can't handle something? We sometimes forget that God is with us, God is for us, and God has promised us that that limitless supply of strength. Listen to the word of God through Asaph in Psalm 73, verse 26. He says, "My strength may fail, my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart, and he is mine forever." Listen to the Apostle Paul, "For I can do all things with the help of Christ who gives me strength." Yes, strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. And then, of course, not only is there the triumph of his strength, but there is the song of our triumph as well. "For the Lord Jehovah is my song." Notice the song of the victorious believer. It is a song of undiluted praise towards God. It is not only towards him, but he is also the subject of the believer's song. Isaiah says, "He is my song." David says in Psalm 9 and verse 2, "I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High." You see, there is a glorious person for the Redeemer to sing about. "I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love." There is a great salvation for the believer to sing of. "I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me." There are multitude of blessings that the believer can sing of. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And then there's matchless grace which sustains the believer, that he can sing a wonderful grace that gives what I don't deserve, pays for me what Christ has earned, and lets me go free. Christian friend, this morning we have a triumphant song. "For the Lord Jehovah is my song." Yes, there is indeed a great triumph, a great trust, and a great truth in that second verse alone. "In that day you will say, I will praise you, O Lord, although you were angry with me. Your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation."